Oh, Lord, open up our eyes.
Amen.
Open up our hearts.
Amen.
Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
Bring us more into the full knowledge of you.
Amen.
Thank you for your wonderful incarnation.
Amen.
You are mingled with man.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your all-inclusive death.
Amen.
Lord, you brought everything to the cross.
Amen.
We've died.
Amen.
Sins are gone.
Amen.
The world is gone.
Amen.
The old man is gone.
Amen.
Going into the gone.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh,
you have resurrected.
Amen.
The grain of wheat
Amen.
Has been multiplied.
Amen.
Lord Jesus,
Amen.
Love you, resurrected Christ.
Amen.
You are living in us
Amen.
As our life-giving spirit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, now bring us further.
Amen.
Bring us this morning
Amen.
Into your ascension.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You've been crowned.
Amen.
You've been crowned.
Amen.
Glory and honor.
Amen.
You have the highest name.
Amen.
You are made Lord.
Amen.
You are made Christ.
Amen.
You're our leader.
Amen.
You're our Savior.
Amen.
You're the head over all things.
Amen.
And now you're to us.
Amen.
You're to the church. Hallelujah! 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 Amen. What a weekend. Oh, saints, aren't you glad you're here this weekend?
Yeah.
I'm so glad I'm here. I'm so glad. You know, our prayer, a lot of our prayer this weekend has come from Ephesians 1. It says that He would grant you, right, a spirit of wisdom and revelation. A spirit of wisdom and revelation. In the full knowledge of Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So I hope we can all say our knowledge has become a little more full this weekend, right?
Amen.
Maybe we knew these terms, incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. But have they been a little more full this weekend?
Yeah.
Amen. So I believe the brothers on Friday night, so you know, maybe our thought with resurrection is He came up, and ascension, He went a little bit higher, right? I think maybe before I had to prepare with the brothers for this, I don't know if I could have said much more than that. But thank the Lord, He is opening up His Word, right? Through the help of the ministry and through the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So, kind of to lay a foundation, we'd like to read some verses. And so, my voice is a little shot, so I'd like to get some help from some brothers. So maybe Kenny, Phil, Daniel, and Jordy. Can you brothers get your Bibles? Stand up. And the verses we'll read, they're on your sheet. They're listed on the sheet. You'll need a Bible. We have a microphone for you. So,
Amen.
Amen.
Take it.
Act now.
Share it.
Amen. So, Acts chapter 1. And you all can turn there and follow along. It'll be good.
Amen.
Good to see what the Word of God says, right? Everything we want to speak this weekend is from the Word.
Amen.
Not here to make up our own invention, right? So, brother, maybe just come up. If you need a Bible, anyways, here. So, Phil, maybe you can read us Acts 1, 4, and 5. And, yeah, Acts 1, 4, and 5.
And as He met together with them,
Amen.
He charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father,
Amen.
Which He said, you heard from me.
Amen.
For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Not many days from now.
Amen. Read that last sentence, so we need a good amen, right?
Amen.
We need to receive the word with our amen.
Amen.
He still needs to give us an amen-worthy declaration.
Amen. All right. For John baptized with water.
Amen.
But you.
Amen.
But you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And not many days from now.
Amen.
Amen. Kenny. Verses 8 through 14. You can split them with Daniel.
All right.
And then Jordy, chapter 2, 1 through 4.
But you shall receive power
Amen.
When the Holy Spirit comes
Amen.
Comes upon you,
Amen.
And you shall be my witness
Amen.
Both in Jerusalem
Amen.
And all Judea
Amen.
And Samaria
Amen.
And unto the uttermost
Amen.
Part of the earth.
Amen.
And when He said these things, while they were looking on, He was lifted up,
Amen.
And a cloud took Him
Amen.
Away from their sight.
Daniel 10 through 14.
Verse 10. And while they were looking intently into heaven as he went, behold,
Amen.
Two men in white clothing stood beside them,
Amen.
Who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven
Amen.
Will come in the same way as you beheld him going into heaven.
Amen. Jordy, sorry. Can you do 12 through 14, chapter 1?
Yes. All right. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city.
Amen.
When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James.
Amen.
They all joined together constantly in prayer, Amen. Along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus,
Amen.
And with his brothers.
Amen. Amen. All right, and then Ivan. Come on, I have the Bible for you. Chapter 2, 1 through 4.
And as the day of the Pentecost was being fulfilled, they Amen. Were all together in the same place.
Amen. Amen. Where were they?
Same place.
Amen.
Amen. Together.
Together.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, this morning a good key word is together.
Together. Amen.
Where were they when the Lord ascended?
Together.
And they went to pray?
Together.
And they were gathered?
Together.
Amen.
And suddenly there was a sound of out of heaven as of a rushing violent wind.
Amen.
And it filled the whole house
Amen.
Where they were sitting.
Amen.
And there appeared to them tongues as fire,
Amen.
Which was distributed, and it sat on each one of them.
Amen.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, they were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
And they began to speak
Amen.
In different tongues,
Amen.
Even as the Spirit gave them to speak forth.
Amen. Hallelujah. They got tongues of fire
Amen.
And were given to speak.
Amen.
Right? And then when they spoke, just to paraphrase some more verses, you know why the Lord gave them to speak that way? Because they were at this feast and all the Jews dispersed, right? Their nation had basically been put aside by that point. And all the Jews from all over the different lands were still practicing to get together, right? They got together once a year. But some lived here, some lived there, some were from Rome, some were from Egypt, some were from Mesopotamia, some were from Asia. So even though they were all one people, they didn't even have the same language. But God wanted to speak.
Amen.
And you know what he wanted to speak? Like Brother Ben pointed out last night, he spoke the wonderful steps of Christ.
Amen.
But he had to speak it in every language. So eventually all these ones were marveling because they said, how is it that these ones are just from Galilee, but we hear them speaking in our own tongues? The magnificent works of God, right? Just what? Incarnation, right? Crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, right? So this was what the Spirit was pouring out, right? So that they could speak God's wonderful steps. For sake of time. And then 16 through 18. But this is what is spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions.
Amen.
Have we seen a vision of Christ this weekend? And your old men shall dream things in dreams. And indeed upon my slaves, both men and women, I will pour out. This is the promise.
Amen.
We need to take it, right? I will pour out of my Spirit in these days, and they shall prophesy.
Amen.
And then in 36, Peter says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made him
Amen.
Both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
This Jesus whom you have crucified.
Amen.
Amen. So in one verse, you got the death and the ascension. Earlier he talked about the resurrection. Amen. So it's good. So anyway, I was just impressed in reading through the beginning of Acts that all these ones had were Christ's wonderful steps. And actually, even in reading it, there's no indication that they got together. Okay, so Christ has been resurrected, ascended. He He said wait, and then we're supposed to do something, right? So when that happened, what should we do? You know, point A, we need who has some places to stay. We need some this. There was no indication that they were attempting to carry out anything for God. But through the Lord's resurrection, they had received Him, as our brother shared last night, as the breath of life. So they were filled inwardly with the Spirit as their life, right? The Lord didn't say go. It says you got filled inwardly, right? You took a drink, but He didn't say go yet. But then He says wait, wait. And so all they were able to do, actually the Lord didn't even say pray. The Lord just said wait. But anyways, when we wait, we should pray. Right, they prayed, and it's good that the apostles in the books of the Gospels had no stamina to pray, and they had no stamina to be one with each other. They were full of contentions. Actually, when the Lord was sleeping, they were not asleep, and when the Lord was praying, they were sleeping. So anything the Lord wanted to do, they were just completely the opposite. But in resurrection, He got in, right? So when He said, wait, they said, let's pray, right? And so they just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and waited and prayed. And then when the time came, they didn't even know, if we pray, I bet on Pentecost, something, maybe that's been taught long enough, right? No, the Lord didn't tell them when. He just said, pray. So He said, wait. So anyways, our job as the body is to wait on the Lord, right? To come to the Lord and to receive of the Lord this one in His marvelous steps. And it gives Him the opportunity to spread. So we'll just come to the outline. Number one, let's read that together. The four wonderful. Amen. Wonderful. Hopefully the Lord will open up this morning. This is wonderful, right? We don't want to merely skate on the ice of the ascension, right? He just was up, got higher, but we want to dive down. Amen. Or we want to go up. I don't know. What is it? We need to go up to the ascension. Amen. Dive down to the depths. All right. So point A, 40 days after the Lord's resurrection, He ascended into heaven. Amen. Our brothers read that for us. Wonderful. All right. In His ascension. All right. How about we all read B together? In His ascension.
Christ was found with glory.
Amen.
Amen.
To the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, our Christ in ascension. He was crowned, right? In Hebrews 2:7 it says He was crowned with glory and honor. So this was the Lord, the one who had been mocked and crucified was now crowned. This glory, His person was now in glory, right? Like our brother pointed out last night in resurrection, right? And they said, we want to make this grain a king. He said, no, no, no. The grain has to go into the ground. And then it'll be glorified, right? So this one is now in glory. This is the splendor of His person, all right? And honor. So honor indicates the preciousness of His worth. In 1 Peter 2:4, it says, this one was rejected by men. But with God, He's chosen and precious. So this is God's exalted one. He is crowned with glory and honor. All right. Also, it says He was made in Acts 2:36, which we read. He was made both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So saints, it's not a small thing. Actually, a lot of people use the name of Jesus in a way that's not so positive, right? But they won't say Lord Jesus, because Jesus to them is not their Lord. But actually, it is in His ascension that this one is now Lord and Christ.
Amen.
So you know what that means? When we say Lord, actually in the book of Philippians it's good. It says, every knee shall bow, right? And every tongue will confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord! And actually the thought even in that verse is some will not declare that. And so they will, in that day, they will have no other option. They will realize, right? In America we have elections. People vote for who they want. And then the one who doesn't, I vote for this one, that one won. He's not my president. I didn't vote for him. Actually, he's your president. I don't care if you voted for him or not. He is the Lord in that sense of America, right? But it's so good that there could be a group of people on this earth who gladly say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. So this is not a small thing. When we call Jesus, we can say, Lord Jesus. Right? Lord Jesus. Right? Even this is so good. This is the ascended Christ, right? But sometimes he's here and we're not under. We're out here, right? So it's good. The brothers in the morning time, Lord. Why Lord Jesus? We need to get ourselves realigned, right? By nature, we're rebellious. By nature, we want to be our own Lord. But this one, in ascension, is Lord. And he's Christ. Hallelujah. So Christ is not Jesus' last name. He's not Jesus Christ. I'm David Chancellor. He's Jesus. No. Christ. Christ means the anointed one. Anointed one for what? For God's carrying out of God's commission. So he's the Lord of the whole heavens and earth. And he has been given the commission to carry out what's on God's heart. This is awesome. This is the one in ascension. And, all right, so there's more. In Acts 5:31, it says he was made the leader and the Savior. I really like this pairing. He is the leader. He is the leader of the entire world situation. The leader of all the nations, right? Even though they're in rebellion, he's still the leader. And you know what he's doing? He's arranging the environment. He's adjusting the situation to make it appropriate for people to receive him as the Savior. Isn't this so good? He didn't resurrect, become the Savior, and just, you know, sit around and I hope they find me. Actually, he's arranging, right? Even we just consider our personal situation, right? When were we born? What kind of family were we born into, right? Many of us born into a family of ones that love the Lord. Did we, you know, we were born, please God, I want this kind of a family, I want, right? No, actually, the Lord, as the leader, arranging the situation, arranging. Kenny needs to be born. Actually, Kenny wasn't born into a Christian home, but he needs to sit next to this person in class and talk with him. And then the next year, actually, I need to arrange for him to have another class with him because, I don't know, one wasn't enough. Anyways, we just realized, well, either the brother wasn't that bold or Kenny wasn't ready. But anyways, we just realized the Lord is arranging. He is the leader. In ascension, he's leading everything to make an appropriate situation that we can be the recipient of his salvation. Right? And so this happens on the macro scale. So many things go on in the world situation, but even really on the individual scale, the Lord is the leader and the Savior. And also, he was made head over all things. Hallelujah. So I'd like now to turn to Ephesians 1. So this is good. Those statuses, I mean, they say, that's good. It's good to know, right? Glory, honor, Lord, Christ, leader, Savior. But, you know, he's ascended, and what does that have to do with me, right? But actually, as we saw last night, this one is in us, right? And not only is he in us, but, oh, we need to see this in Ephesians. This is really good. All right, Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. Maybe you all can follow along. I'll read. Oh, Lord, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us?
Amen.
Toward us. Toward Amen. Us. Say that toward me.
Toward me.
To your neighbor. Toward you.
Toward you.
Toward us.
Toward us.
Who believe?
I believe.
According to the operation of the might of his strength, which he caused to operate in Christ, in raising him from the dead, right? Through his steps, right? In seating him at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule and authority and power and lordship, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. What's his name? Lord Jesus. And he subjected all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Amen. Let's read that last phrase together. To the church. Amen. I'm so glad the Apostle Paul wrote these verses. If they ended without that last phrase, then Christ in his ascension would remain objective to us. But he said, this Christ is to the church.
Amen.
to the church, right? I need Tony. Damon, can you come up? I need Tony. Anyways, amen. Tony. To the church. So in verse 19, he says, this great power is toward us. And then in verse 22, it's to the church, right? So here's Christ. Hallelujah, right? So he was incarnated, right? And then he was rejected. He was condemned. He was crucified, right? He was buried, right? Sitting in the ground 3 days, right? Who is this one? Rejected. But what? By God, he was chosen and precious, right? So he was resurrected. Hallelujah! Right? And then he was ascended. Far above all, right? He was ascended. What? He was at the right hand of the throne of God. Far above all rule. Far above all authority. Right? And he was given to be head. Right? And it says all things under his feet. So we're under Tony's feet. Amen. Under our brother's feet. Right? And he's head over all things. Right? But this is, you know, maybe this is, okay, great. This is Christ. But then Ivan. I need Ivan. I haven't come up. But then there's us, right? We're just the poor little church. Oh, the poor little church. He's so much, and he's in ascension, but I'm just, you know, in my situation and all these things. It's poor little church. No, but it says what? This one is at head over all things to the church. Two. All right, I need some two. Tony, I need some two. Two. To the church. To the church. To the church, right? It's to the church. Amen. To the church, right? To the church. So is the church poor, low, pitiful? You know, I'm just a sinner, and, you know, I come back to the Lord, and, you know, I'm glad He's inside of me, but I didn't think I could make it another day. No, there's a transmission. Transmission, right? He's to the church. To the church. Amen. Thank you, brothers. Hallelujah. Amen. So this great Christ is to the church, right? So another good illustration is a power plant, right? Through Christ's steps, he's been inaugurated. He is now able to execute his authority. And this power plant has been installed, right? He has been installed in the heavens. He's been installed once for all. But there is a transmission. There is now a transmission continually taking place. And this transmission is where? To the church. Amen. So just briefly, what is the church? What's the church? In a simple way, we are the church. All God's people. Right? Raise your hand if you're the part of the church. Yeah, amen, right? Where everyone's hand should be up. Right? No one, if you believe, you're part of the church. Amen. This great power is to the church. Amen. Amen. All right, because of time, we need to move on. Point C, because Christ ascended and was established as Lord and Head, He baptized the entire church in the Holy Spirit. Amen. This was accomplished in two sections. All the Jewish believers were baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Our brothers were reading for us. And all the Gentile believers were baptized in the house of Cornelius. In these two sections, all genuine believers in Christ were baptized in the Holy Spirit into one body, once for all, universally. Now, I'd just like to point out just very briefly that the Lord said, wait until, right, until I pour out. And once He poured out, He didn't say, wait again. There was no more waiting at that point. Once He started, once He poured out on the church, that was it. And then He's moving, and they're moving with Him. And this pouring out was the beginning of the fulfillment of Matthew 16:18. Where the Lord said, I will build my church. Amen. So to build a church, He needs to fill us inwardly as life, and He needs to fill us outwardly to be one with Him as the Lord and the Christ, to propagate Him, right? Yeah. To be one with one another, to be the body of Christ. So did I read point three yet? No. Okay. Amen. Point three, how about we read that together? In one Spirit, we're all baptized. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So in the Lord's ascension, He made one body. Amen. I really love 1 Corinthians 12:13. For also in one Spirit, we were all baptized. Let's say that. We were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and some of us were given to drink one. Oh, no, and we're all given to drink one spirit. So I'd like to point out this is an accomplished fact, right? Paul doesn't say some, maybe, later, this. No, we were all baptized into one body. So the Lord in His ascension, He just made one body, right? I just love looking at everyone in the room. We're just one body, right? On our campus, you know, we get together. We're this background, that background, Jew, Greek, slave, free, high, low, this, that. But we're just one body, right? We're just one body. Why? Because Christ has poured Himself out, right? And He has given us to drink the one Spirit. So even just like, I really love this verse, even points again to baptism, right? On one hand, baptism natively puts off so many negative things. But on the other hand, it puts us into the one body, right? Yeah. So I'd just like to encourage those again, if you're considering, I want to be baptized, not just to put off Pharaoh, right? But I want to be in the one body, right? Yeah. I want to be given to drink more of this one Spirit. Yeah. Amen. So maybe we can read point two together. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord, saints. We come to the fourth step today, this morning. Haven't you enjoyed the steps, the wonderful steps that Christ took through His incarnation?
Amen.
Right? First of all, He stepped out of eternity. Stepped into time.
Amen.
Right? The first step He took was incarnation.
Amen.
Then followed by crucifixion.
Amen.
Third,
resurrection.
Then ascension. Regarding the previous few steps, incarnation, right, crucifixion, people are rather familiar, at least objectively, know what it is, because it's rather physical, have some very solid record. But when you talk to resurrection, it's a little bit beyond this box here. And what is resurrection? Then talk about ascension is just way past our head. What is that? You know, becomes something suddenly becomes so abstract. But I hope that, you know, the Lord really enlightened the eyes of our heart.
Amen.
Even though our physical eyes is limited. Only see, you know, 10 feet, 100 feet, you know. But how can we see into heavens? The center of the universe. But there's the eyes of your heart.
Amen.
Needs to be enlightened.
Amen.
They can see beyond these two eyes can see.
Right.
Haven't your eyes been enlightened a little bit?
Amen.
To see beyond the physical realm?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Where is our Christ today? He is in ascension.
Amen.
He is far above all.
Amen.
Right? Of course, these are revealed to us through the Word of God. Without the Word of God, we have no clue what's going on. But we need to say amen to the Word of God.
Amen.
Instead of staying in our limited mentality.
Right?
Praise the Lord, Christ has resurrected.
Amen.
He also has been, He has ascended.
Amen.
He is at the right hand of God.
Amen.
Do you see it?
Amen.
If you see it, say a big amen.
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 Amen!
I see it!
Amen.
Yeah, as such a Christ, He has His purpose. As the first message brought out by Brother Ben and Chris, that God has an eternal purpose. That's why for the fulfilling and the carrying out of His eternal purpose, He took these steps. Yeah. And from that, we learn that the Lord's desire, His heart, good pleasure, is that He will be expressed through humanity in a corporate way. You know what? Someone else also envy, compete with the expression in man. That is Satan. That's why before man make his choice to choose God, to receive God into him, Satan came to play a trick, to deceive man, and then therefore injected himself into man. So man, even though was created in the image of God, after God's likeness, but man at large cannot express God. Man today, look around, look at the headlines. What does man express? Satan. That's why in the Bible, in the New Testament, there are people possessed by demons. They know out of their own will they cannot do whatever they want. They just do something rather weird and strange. But you may say that today, I'm not possessed by demons. People around me not possessed by demons. My classmates not possessed by demons. Are they not being occupied by the things of the world? Satan can use all forms, all shapes, all color to occupy man, distract man from contacting God, to be infused by God, absorb God, therefore to express God. He not necessarily use ugly, gross things. Sometimes we are all living in a cultural, you know, very cultural society. He used all the good things. He can use philosophy. He can use moral. He can use education. He can use, that piece of skin filled with air. What is that? You know, either round shape, different shape. Yeah, all those things to occupy people's heart. In its nature, it's not necessarily bad, sinful, but something that distracts you. Right? Brothers all know what I'm talking about, right? That things fly around in the air. The balls, okay. Sister a little slow picking it up. Okay. Praise the Lord. But we need to be brought back. Yeah. Man failed to express God. That's why God came himself to be a man. Work himself into this man. Mingle himself with this man. He fully expressed God. Unhindered, undiscounted. He fully, God's glory, shine forth radiantly. Amen. Jesus is what? He's not just a good man. He is God manifested in the flesh. Amen. God fully expressed. But of course, now, the Lord not just after individual to express Him. He wants a corporate entity called the body, the church, to express Him. Okay, how about 10, 12. Okay, all you brothers, 12, all come out here real quick. Let's say these are the disciples of the Lord, right? And we have Jesus here, Brother Daniel. Yeah, Jesus, come on. They follow Jesus, okay? Wherever Jesus go, how about you go around, and they all follow you around here. But at the same time, these disciples, they argue with each other, who is greater? Argue. Go, argue. They follow Jesus. Yeah, keep walking, and they're walking, but they argue with each other. And argue, brother, but don't be nice. Come on, yeah. Okay. Okay, that's good. You got the picture here. Yeah, they're together because of Jesus. It's a little bit, unusual person. Sometimes he spoke something that is quite powerful. He did something powerful. That's why they follow him. They cannot go away either, but they don't like each other. That was before resurrection. But now after resurrection, Jesus disappeared. Right? They cannot see Jesus. But one night, the evening of the resurrection, Jesus came back. And they were all shaking, They were all shaking in the room. And Jesus breathed himself into his disciples. Okay, now. And Jesus disappeared again. And then suddenly he disappeared in a period of 40 days to train them with his invisible presence. Sometimes they don't quite feel him, so the Lord appeared in the midst. You know, they went fishing. The Lord appeared again. They thought that the Lord is not real anymore. And then the Lord disappeared. They realized, oh yeah, He is inside. Yeah. You know, now this time, they don't argue anymore. They are together. But they are just being together. But they are not joined yet. Praise the Lord, they are together.
Amen.
Aren't you glad this brother together?
Amen.
No more arguing, no more beating on each other's head. Right? But they are together. And then the Lord said, now one more time. Yeah, and another time He appeared to them. He said, you have to wait for 40 days. No, He just said, wait at Jerusalem.
Right.
Don't go back to Galilee. Wait there and until you receive something.
Amen.
Okay. And this one, they went back to Jerusalem. Oh, okay, now you brothers, just pray.
Amen.
Okay, amen. Exercise the Spirit and pray, brother. Amen. 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 Okay, that's good. You get the point. They did that for 10 days. Of course, the Lord just said, wait. They didn't know how long to wait for. Boy, do you have patience for that, sisters? Okay, suddenly, on the day of Pentecost, which was actually 10 days after, the Spirit poured up upon them.
Amen.
How about read Roman numeral 2 again, all of you? Amen. Amen. Now, okay, brothers, you all join hands with each other and turning outward. Turning outward. Yeah. Turning outward. Yeah. And let's say this is Peter here. Peter. Yeah. Peter and the 12 were standing with him.
Amen.
They no more compete with each other. They not just be together. They are connected to be the body of Christ.
Amen.
In miniature.
Amen.
Right? And Peter speaks something. Speak something, brother. Amen.
Amen.
Man of Jews, listen to me.
Come on.
Speak about four steps of Christ. Speak about four twenty-one. Okay, 221. Okay, you speak this verse. Okay, amen.
Amen.
And the rest of the brothers, you better prepare. Say amen. Okay.
Amen.
Whatever he said, whatever he read here. Amen. Sorry, this. Okay, how about you read this verse here? Amen.
And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen!
Oh, there's Peter. What are the other brothers doing? They are standing with him.
Amen.
Yeah, read one more time. Another verse, continue.
Man of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazarene, a man shown by God to you to be approved by works of power and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, even as you yourself know.
Amen.
Not loud enough, brother.
Amen.
Okay, you get the point. Okay, thank you, brother. Okay, thank you. Yeah, you can. Okay. Now, the Lord not just have individual members, but He, through the pouring out of the Spirit, He formed these members of His body into one entity. Into one body. One body in the Bible is not a figure of speech. It's not an illustration. It is a reality. In Ephesians chapter 4, right? One God, one Lord, one Spirit, and one body. It's listed as 1-1-1. So it is not an example. It is not an illustration. It is a real entity.
Amen.
It is the body of Christ.
Amen.
Actually, it is Christ enlarged.
Amen.
It is Christ expanded.
Amen.
In His expression.
Amen.
Okay, how about read A for me? Yes. And there are two aspects of the Spirit. One is of life, and one is for power. So in the ministry writing, sometimes you can find out the aspect of life, oftentimes and all the time referred to as the essential Spirit. The aspect for power is called the economical Spirit, and it is for the carrying out of the divine commission, for the carrying out of the divine work. Yeah. So that is these two aspects. You look at the Lord Jesus Himself, He also has these two aspects of the Spirit, but it's one Spirit, not two Spirit. When He was conceived in a virgin's womb, right? He was conceived with the Spirit. That Spirit became His very essence, very intrinsic makeup. And so His being is not just pure human, but also is mingled, saturated with this divinity, the Holy Spirit. That is for His existence, for His living, right? And that's why we call it the essential Spirit. And the disciples also received that aspect of the Spirit at the evening of the resurrection. The Lord breathed Himself into them as a breath of life for their existence, for their living. But at the age of 30, the Lord Jesus, when He started to come out to minister, and you know what? When He was baptized by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit was descended upon Him as a dove. He was inaugurated. He was, officiated into His earthly ministry. But at the time when He was dying on the cross, to be our Redeemer, was made sin for us, and He cried out, said, "God, God, why have You forsaken Me?" And it is that Spirit that descended upon Him for the carrying out of His earthly ministry at this juncture, because in the eyes of God, He is the unique sinner. All the sin of the world was piling on top of Him. He bore our sin. That's why the Spirit was departed. Yeah. Because He is the sinner bearing our sin. And so there is these two aspects of the Spirit. So the disciple not only received the essential Spirit at the evening of resurrection, but on the day of Pentecost, they also received the Spirit of power. Amen. For the establishment of the church, for the building up of God's kingdom, for the building up of God's building up of the body of Christ, you know what? There needs a definite power. Because the powers of Hades doesn't like it. It's attacking it. What power can be stronger than the power of Hades, the gates of Hades? Only the resurrection and ascension power. The power that Brother David mentioned. The fourfold power. Paul called it the surpassingly great power that is now operating in Christ, in raising Him up, in seating Him up, in subjecting all things under His feet, in heading up all things in Christ. And this power is now to the church. This is an accomplished fact. The Word says so, and we simply, like the song we sang, we take it. We hold it. We share it. We act on it. Amen. This is the believers. Yeah. How about read? I will read 1, 2, and 3, okay? Did we read 1 already? Oh, covered. Okay. Okay, since I covered it, I won't read it. I read point 3, okay? Every believer in Christ should experience both aspects of the Spirit. Every believer. Amen. Tell your neighbor. Every believer. Amen. Yeah. Every believer, we should experience the both aspects of the Spirit. Aspect of life, essential Spirit, and aspect of power, the economical Spirit. Well, nowadays, I would say, through my observation, the Christian community by large is very mental, is very philosophical, and also very doctrinal. Christ is such a power. There's such a power. And it's to the church. It doesn't seem like the output is matching the input. Our input, I'm not sure how many megatons of what, but the output is very little. We have such a powerful Christ, ascended far above all, but the church seems that powerless, succumb to all the things of the world. What happened? How can we appropriate this power? How can we tap into this power? This is a great power. The power plant is no problem. But when the power channels through all the wires, connections, into a building, into a house, you know what? How can you appropriate the power if you don't turn on the switch? If there's some break circuit somewhere, if there's some insulation somewhere, you cannot appropriate the power. No problem on Christ's side, but there's a problem on the church side. There's a problem on our side. How about read Roman, point B together?
Some practical ways to experience the spirit of power are two.
Amen. Point A, how about my brothers read that? Amen. Repent from all our sin. One of these insulators is our sin. Yeah. Our sin separate us, insulate us from God. Yeah. What should we do? We need to repent. We need to confess our sin. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't hide our sin. May we be before the Lord to be in His light. Only in His light we know our real condition. We know our hidden motive. We know our hidden thoughts, hidden desire. All this will insulate, discount the flow of the power. May we all spend time with the Lord. Lord, I want to be open to You. Lord, I want to open my heart. Open my inner being. Section by section. My inward parts. Lord, shine in every part. Amen. That I can confess to You all the sin and unrighteousness. And also, Paul, why the power is flow out from Paul so easily? You know what? Paul said in Acts 23:1, he said, "Men, brothers, I have conducted myself in all good conscience before God until this day." In front of his persecutor, Paul can declare this to their face. "Men, brothers, I have conducted myself in all good conscience before God and unto this day." And another time, next chapter 24, he said, "I exercise myself, always have a good conscience, have a conscience without offense toward God and man." Wow. No wonder the Lord can flow through Paul without any hindrance. Don't you want to allow the Lord flow through you without any hindrance? This word may be a little bit sober. Saints, if we really love the Lord, if we really enter into His heart desire, His eternal purpose, we will allow Him. "Lord, don't let me win. Lord, subdue me. Lord, bring the channel in me." You have been waiting for 2,000 years. You say you will build up the church. And you say you will come back. Lord, why haven't you come back? Lord, gain this in me, in all of us, that He can flow unhindered. Amen. And in 2 Corinthians 1:12, Paul also said, "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in singleness and sincerity of God, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world and more abundantly toward you." And 9:14 in Hebrews, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Oh, may the Lord cover us, save us from dead works. There's no impact. A lot of words, a lot of charity, this and that. After done and say, poof. No impact. Not much result. Of course, we are not here for result. Result is fully in the Lord. That is the next point. Right? But my point is here. When our conscience is not having a good conscience, it's just like the sheep has a hole. It's shipwrecking. Yes, the wind is strong. Right? It's powerful. But if the what good for the sheep that has a hole in it? Right? It goes nowhere. It's just getting lower and lower. Right? And also, when our conscience is condemning us, and also easy give ground to for Satan to accuse us. Once our conscience have that kind of accusation, we right away we lose all the boldness. Amen. Okay. Lord, may we have a pure conscience. Amen. Not that we ourselves to be try to establish our own righteousness, but we just spend time in the light of God. Amen. Let Him shine on us. Amen. Let His blood wash us. Amen. From the dead works, right? From the condemnation in the conscience. How about read B, sisters? Oh, sorry. Point two. Sorry. Hallelujah. Now is our portion. Amen. The baptism of the Spirit is our portion. Amen. We have to have faith, have to believe the accomplished fact. Yeah. And like the disciples, right? And the Lord just said, wait. So when they were waiting, they were praying. And do you think they know what to expect when they were waiting? No. They have no idea that 3,000 will be saved. They have no idea a couple days later 5,000 will be added. They have no expectation. But they are just there believing what the Lord said. Amen. The Lord said, wait. Amen. Amen. The Lord said, go. Amen. Amen. The Lord said, pray. Amen. Amen. Believe in the Word. Right? The Word said, He was incarnated. He was resurrected. Amen. He was ascended. And now He is in us. Yeah. And He as life, and also He is upon us as power. Amen. We need to believe. Right? In this aspect, we don't care for the result. In the beginning of Acts, there are 3,500. But Acts chapter 16, when Paul received a vision at night, the vision of Macedonia, oh, come over here. Help us. And Paul received that in a dream. And then he told Silas, we need to go over there. But you know what happened? When they went over there to Philippi, they only saved one family. Then after that, they got beaten, put into prison. What a result is that? So Paul went with faith. Paul went in faith. Not care for the result. So when we have faith in the Lord, don't ask how. Don't ask when. Just believe. Amen. Just take it. Amen. Lord, who else, whose word we can believe besides the Bible? Do you believe your friend's word? Do you believe your own word? No. For this also we need to not depend on our feeling. Our feeling is not trustworthy. The word of God has been here for so long. Right? Outlast you. You may be here only for 20 years. The word of God has been here more than 2,000 years. And it will abide forever. Amen. So don't believe our feeling. We just simply apply it. Claim it. With faith. Amen. And 2 Corinthians 3:14 is what it said. It's 4:13. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4:13. And having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believe, therefore I spoke.
Amen.
We also believe, therefore we also speak.
Amen.
Okay, brothers, go point three.
Obey. The Holy Spirit is given by God to those who are obedient. Therefore, we must obey God.
Amen. Obey God. God, to experience this Spirit as a power is not cheap. We need to obey. Yeah, we need to obey. Lord, grant us such an obedience. And Acts 5:32 says, and we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey Him. The Holy Spirit is given for those who obey Him. The Spirit, on one hand, is as powerful as a wind. But the Spirit also will signify, the economical Spirit also signify as a dove. When the Lord was baptized, right, the Spirit descended upon Him as a dove. The Spirit itself is powerful. But how can we tap into that power, powerful Spirit, is we need to treat the Spirit as a dove, the gentle dove. Yeah, you cannot be rough with the dove. Yeah, if you're rough with the dove doesn't like it. Yeah, it might flew away, but the Spirit in you won't flew away. Once it's in you, He's in you. But you may grieve the Spirit. That little gossip, you have a sense, you grieve the Spirit. That little look, that little click, that little reasoning. Brothers, don't we have reasonings? Oh, we have a lot. Sister, how about memory? Right? All this reasoning, murmuring, might quench the Spirit. And that create the insulation for the Spirit. For us to experience the Spirit as power. That the Lord's Spirit just cannot flow through freely. Amen. And even the apostle experienced this. In Acts chapter 8, Philip, the evangelist, was on the way. And the Spirit said, approach that chariot and join to it. You know what? Who was in that chariot? The Ethiopian eunuch. Yeah. And Philip has to what? Has to obey. Hasn't the Lord spoke to you sometime? Give you a little sense with Him? Approach that guy. Speak to the one next door. The one that sits next to you. How about your uncle? And at one time, I was on the broom walk, and just tabling. And as I was watching for people passing me by, the Lord said, approach that guy. I was a little slow. But I was, you know, that guy already passed me. So I said, Lord, don't forgive me for being late, slow obeying. But I still want to obey, so I chased after that guy from the behind. The Lord said, approach that guy. So I approached him from behind. He was scared. But anyway, obey the Lord better than scaring him. So I start conversing with him, but make the story short. And he came to give up all his information, so we established contact. Again, leave the result to the Lord. At the beginning, I thought, wow, he's really open, you know? Wow, amen. He gave all information. That's a good indicator, right? And then I contact him. He had a few appointments. Wonderful! Then he didn't answer my phone call. You know what? I want to give up. The Lord said, give him a buzz again. He didn't answer. The Lord said, text him again. He didn't reply. Couple weeks passed by. The Lord said, do that again. Amen. Then he replied. So we meet up. Then after a while, he stopped again. So it took about 3 years. But make the story really short. Amen. This brother is in the church life. Obey. Amen. And one time, the Lord told the Apostle Paul went on the gospel journey. And the Spirit forbidden him to go into Asia. You thought, wow, everywhere we should preach gospel everywhere. How about obey the Spirit? That is your concept that you can go everywhere preaching the gospel. But how about the Spirit said, don't go there. Go straight. Yeah. Amen. Okay, last one. Number four. Whose turn now? I forgot. Our brothers. Go, brothers. Amen. And this is another major, major point for us to experience the outpouring, the power of the Spirit, to be rightly related to the body. The Spirit only descends upon the body. The Spirit only applicable for those who are properly connected to the body. Not for any individual who are individualistic. Yeah. That doesn't mean you have to be together all the time. Paul was in prison, but he is rightly related to the believers. Paul can go out on the gospel with Silas or Timothy, but he is rightly related to the body. They are not doing a separate independent work. How about the prayer in one accord? Huh? Yeah. Amen. Point C, how about I just read it for you. When Peter and the apostle received the Holy Spirit coming upon them as the Spirit of power, they were empowered to do an exceedingly effective work for the Lord.
Amen.
One, like the apostle, when we go to the campuses to preach the gospel, we have to go by Spirit. We have to exercise our faith.
Amen.
To believe that we are in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Again, all have to be baptized.
Amen.
In one Spirit, into one body.
Amen.
And all are given to drink the one Spirit.
Amen.
And number two, the power to preach the gospel is in the Spirit because we have the Spirit. We have the power to boldly preach the gospel. Again, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to have a wrong understanding. This power is not just for miracle. Actually, the Lord is not for miracle. Remember one time, Satan came and tempted him, changed the stone to bread. The Lord is not interested at all. He said, jump from the wing. An angel will catch you. Yeah. He's not interested. And in John, he said he did not trust those who seek signs, seek miracles. The power is not for miracle. The power is for the building up of the church.
Amen.
The power is to... Let me share with you what is the four aspects this power is for. First, the power is for begetting. To give birth to impart life, the divine life, into a sinner. Second, it's for nourishing. You need power to nourish someone. Yeah. Those who are newly saved, right? Most of the time they are not that stable. Sometimes discouraged. You need to learn to feed them. That is that power is for. You need endurance. Right? That is that power is needed for nourishing the young ones. Also for perfecting the new believers, the young saints. And also for building up the church through prophesying. Yeah. And we experience the economical spirit most easily through these four venues. Begetting, nourishing, perfecting, and building. When you preach the gospel, surely you are experiencing the economical spirit. Many times, you're just not sure where the bonus came from. Where the words that just suddenly come out from your mouth from. Where the authority come from. One time, I went to preach the gospel with two sisters. We were taking the taxi. Because two sisters, they always sit at the back. I have to sit in the front. So, the taxi is the guy. So, I have to preach the gospel to the taxi. And the sister prayed for me, I guess. They were very quiet. So, you know. And so, you speak. And he was driving. Speak, asking to pray. And he prayed. Then he drove us to the meeting hall I need to go to. And so I said, you need to get baptized. And he said, sure. And he said, oh, I'll go and park the car. You get off first. And just tell me what floor. So I thought, oh, okay, yeah. If I get off, you will drive away. So it's okay. So I'll just trust the Lord. And so I went up. The meeting hall is on the third floor. Just greeting the saints. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So happy to see the saints. And 5 minutes later, somebody said, someone is looking for lampstand. Who's lampstand? I said, yeah, I'm here. Who's? What's wrong? What's matter? Does someone want to get baptized? Oh, I actually forgot about him. Then I saw he was that taxi driver. Amen. So we'll happily fill out the baptism and baptize him.
Amen.
I said, wow, Lord, how'd that happen? Well, if you give yourself for the gospel,
Amen.
The Lord's Spirit is with you.
Amen.
Amen. Because of time, I cannot go too far. Read Romans 3 together and focus.